KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
And we have ABC News coming up, and then we'll have more of your top local and regional news on the way, including those stories coming up after ABC. KOMO News time now, 9 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 48 hours from right now, Joe Biden will be taking the oath of office as the 46th president of the United States. The tight security in Washington saw a lockdown this morning at the U.S. Capitol, where people were told to shelter and stay away from windows. Turned out to be caused by a fire at a nearby homeless encampment. The lockdown's been lifted, but the strong security stance includes a close look at the National Guard members who are in the Capitol.
With 25,000 National Guard members here, some of them armed, and after the events 2 weeks ago that included members of the military and law enforcement, now an exhaustive effort is underway to check the backgrounds of each guardsman who is here to make sure there is not a threat from the inside. Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy.
Been vetting them through the FBI, getting support from the Federal Bureau of Investigation to continue the vetting of every man and woman that come here.
Alex Stone, ABC News, Washington.
President-elect Joe Biden says unity will be the message on Wednesday. That's something he stressed during a pre-taped video message for the We the People concert for his supporters that aired last night.
Even though our inauguration traditions look a little different this year, And we're all still together, though. United across all of America.
Today, he's taking part in a National Day of Service event in Philadelphia on Martin Luther King Day. No public events today for President Trump. When he leaves office Wednesday, he'll still be facing another impeachment. And ABC's Cecilia Vegas is the legal team for that trial, still unknown.
His personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, spotted at the White House over the weekend, said he was working on the case. But overnight, Giuliani now telling ABC News he won't be on the president's legal team after all, saying his role in the rally before the riot makes him a witness.
7-day average of coronavirus cases, hospitalizations, and deaths is decreasing in the U.S., but the nation is approaching 400,000 deaths from the pandemic. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The KOMO Morning News.
Good morning to you. Welcome to a Monday, 9:02 on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We've got some clouds, some sun breaks, and 42 degrees. I'm Tom Hutler. Thanks for joining us this morning. The State Health Department reporting another 1,817 new cases of COVID-19 yesterday after not reporting numbers Saturday due to a technical glitch. And the agency wants you to know this may not be the full count, and numbers won't be reported today due to the holiday, meaning the next total we'll see tomorrow afternoon could be a pretty large number. The new strain of COVID that's rampaging through the United Kingdom has indeed arrived here. KOMO's Brian Calvert with more on one of the first confirmed cases.
Oregon health officials alerted us over the weekend. A staff member at the University of Portland has tested positive for this new COVID strain.
With all that is unknown still about this particular strain, it's always a concern.
Michael Llewellyn is a spokesperson for the school and has not confirmed where this man contracted the virus. Experts are pretty certain the current vaccine will work against the new strain, but the problem, most tests won't be able to detect it.
It's probably been circulating in the U.S. for much longer than we knew.
Dr. Ken Steadman says this strain could be all over Oregon and Washington, but current testing won't find it, meaning people who have it are likely getting false negatives, then passing the virus on to others before they eventually get really sick. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
An emergency room nurse in Seattle accusing a Seattle police officer of refusing to wear a mask inside her hospital when asked to do so. The director of Seattle's Office of Police Accountability says the matter is being investigated and findings will be issued on a, quote, expedited timeline. The OPA has not named the officer or the hospital where the alleged incident happened. A Seattle police officer has been fired for referring to a black suspect as Kunta Kinte. That name comes from the TV series and novel Roots about slavery. The Seattle Times reported the unnamed officer admitted he used the name in talking with other officers. The Office of Professional Accountability concluded that behavior violated SPD's policy of bias-free policing. Part of downtown Seattle was shut down Saturday afternoon. A man told police he had a bomb inside his truck right outside the FBI's Seattle headquarters.
Just after 1 o'clock, officials say a 34-year-old man intentionally set his own car on fire to get the attention of the police. Then when fire and police crews arrived, he told them he had a bomb in his truck. Police shut down downtown Seattle as they investigated, but found no bomb and towed away the truck.
It's Como's Patrick Quinn. Authorities are trying to figure out why the man made the threat in the first place, but the head of the Seattle FBI field office says for now all is calm here in Washington ahead of Inauguration Day. Coming up.
I'm Carlene Johnson. More evidence that a lot of students' needs are simply not being met in the online environment. Details are straight ahead.
Also.
I'm Frank Lindsay. More than two dozen Hanford contract workers are about to lose their jobs.
Como News Time 904. Traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Tammy Bennett. Good morning.
And good morning. We are going to see some relief on 167 very soon. They've gotten all of this police action off to the side of the road on your right. But there are still some flashing lights here freaking drivers out. You're slow a little bit from 277, mostly from the Green River up to the scene of this on northbound 167, just south of Central. And it looks like a lot of people are taking Central to avoid it. They're cutting over on 277 and going northbound on Central to try and avoid this and getting stopped up at Smith Street. But it's still, at this point, a much better option. Another report coming your way at 9:14. I'm Tammy Bennett for Como News.
This report sponsored by Ole Ortho. The world-class physicians at Ole Ortho are now offering robotic joint replacement options so you don't have to take a long, stressful drive to Seattle or Portland. Robotic joint replacement options at Ole Ortho. Ole Ortho has your back. Your knee, your hip, you get it. OleOrtho.com. Checking that forecast now, meteorologist Kristen Clark.
So far, this January has been trending warmer than normal, but that's about to change here the next couple of days as a cool down takes place later on this week. By this weekend, high temperatures could stay in the 30s in a few spots, and then as moisture begins to move into this colder air on Sunday, expecting a rain-snow mix for the lowlands. Now, not a significant amount of snow, but maybe an inch or two of slush accumulating as the rain-snow mix could continue Monday and Tuesday of next week. It bears some watching. And the Como Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kristen Clark.
Partly cloudy and 42 now at 9:06. 20 minutes of nonstop news continues. Renton police are trying to find the person who rammed one of their patrol cars yesterday morning.
Authorities say the person ran from the scene. They called out a canine unit to search the area near South 2nd and Main Avenue, but officers did not find the driver. A passenger in the car stayed at the scene. But the patrol officer in the wreck squad car was taken to the hospital, but should be okay.
Como's Ryan Yamamoto. Republican U.S. Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers is urging President Trump to put aside his differences with Governor Inslee and help Washington wildfire victims. In a letter to the president last month obtained by the Spokesman Review, McMorris Rogers writes, "Despite our governor's bad faith personal vendetta against your administration, people in my district need support." She adds, quote, "I implore you to move forward in providing aid to those who have been impacted by devastating wildfires in our region." Not since the days of Warren Magnuson and Henry Jackson has the state of Washington fielded such a powerful pair of U.S. senators. Como's Corwin Hake reports the new Democratic majority could reap benefits for our state.
The majority means, among other things, longtime Democratic Senators Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell rise to leadership positions within powerful committees. Murray will chair the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, where she could be instrumental in crafting COVID-19 recovery policy.
It is really clear to me that we have more work to do before we can safely get back to work and school and some semblance of normal life in our country.
Cantwell rises to chair of the Senate Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. As ranking member there, she investigated federal certification failings that contributed to the 737 MAX disasters.
We need an independent FAA.
Longtime Washingtonians recall the senatorial power duo of Magnuson and Jackson, whose influence from the 1950s to 1980s meant billions of federal dollars pouring into our state. Corwin Hake, Como News.
As remote learning continues for the majority of students across the state, there's growing evidence that students are losing out academically and emotionally. Como's Carlene Johnson reports.
Seattle Times requested academic and diagnostic tests from 18 large districts. Auburn, Bellevue, Highline, and Issaquah, they say, provided some test results. Seattle refused to give them over until a public records request was filed, and the Times is still waiting on that to be filled. We do know many students who've typically done well academically are struggling. More D's and F's are being given out. State Superintendent Chris Rakedahl.
We know they're struggling right now. Students across the state, in pretty unprecedented ways, are struggling despite the unbelievable efforts of educators to build remote learning systems.
District and national testing leaders say it's hard at this point to tell if students are really getting the lessons, and tests being taken at home, They don't know if parents or older siblings may be helping. Hospitals, though, statewide are seeing more young people than ever coming in for issues related to depression and anxiety. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
A research team at the U.S. Department of Energy Pacific Northwest National Labs in Richland looking into the potential health effects of e-cigarettes or vaping. The Tri-City Herald reports the team from PNNL is collaborating with the University of Rochester Medical Center and exploring whether vaping causes changes in proteins at the molecular level. Early results show vaping does lead to an imbalance between two kinds of molecules, antioxidants and oxidants. That imbalance leading to oxidative stress, which can overwhelm the body's natural repair processes, triggering potentially harmful chain reactions linked to heart disease, cancer, and respiratory disease. One interesting finding, the research indicates the molecular changes occur when the vaping liquid is nicotine, whether the liquid is nicotine in it or not. Hanford contractor Mission Support Alliance plans to lay off 30 workers at its Department of Energy contract expiration date.
The layoffs are set for Thursday, the last full business day before the expiring contract held by Mission Support Alliance transitions to a new 10-year contract awarded to Hanford Mission Integration Solutions. Many employees at Hanford work 10-hour shifts Monday through Thursdays. Typically, most employees transition to new contractors at Hanford, with the new contractor bringing in new management. Mission Support Alliance employed just over 1,900 workers at the end of September. The layoff announcement was posted online by the Washington Employment Security Department. Frank Lindsay, Como News.
Como News time 9:10, and to the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk, the Kansas City Chiefs move on to the NFL playoffs to the AFC Championship game after a 22-17 win over Cleveland yesterday. And in the NFC, Tom Brady will try to head for his 10th Super Bowl as they meet the Packers after beating New Orleans yesterday 30-20 in what might have been the final game for Drew Brees. Brady wanted to give praise to the Tampa Bay defense.
Defense was incredible all game. The turnovers were huge. Last time we played them, we lost a turnover, minus three. Today was plus four.
And Buccaneers advance to play the Packers Sunday. The other matchup will be Kansas City and Buffalo. Women's college basketball, number 8 UCLA got by number 25 Washington State yesterday in overtime. So the Cougs 1 week in the top 25 probably will come to an end when the new polls come out today. Also expect a new number 1 women's team after Stanford lost to Colorado. Gonzaga likely to hold on to the number 1 spot in the men's poll. Sports at 10 at 40 past each hour. Updating traffic in just a few moments. Como News time 9:11. As the U.S. approaches 400,000 COVID-19 deaths, there is some hope on the horizon, as we hear from ABC's Kaylee Hartung.
Mass vaccination sites popping up across the country, from Florida's Hard Rock Stadium to New York City Field, even Disneyland.
All those can be put in place, but they're useless unless they have something to administer.
With a crippled rollout plan, appointments are overbooked, and many sites say they'll quickly run out of doses. Thousands of Americans just can't seem to get that prize shot in the arm.
It seems like it's very disorganized. What's the point of making an appointment if you're going to stand here 3 or 4 hours to get in, and then you might not even get it?
In Houston, officials weighing a choice between maximizing single-day vaccinations or conserving the supply.
I said, Mayor, if we do 5,000, that means we're not going to have enough for the next week. But he insisted that we get out as much vaccine as we could.
With no federal stockpile, Pfizer and Moderna both shipping out about 2 million doses per week. The government pushing for at least 50 million to be distributed by the end of January. But there's a lot of ground to make up. So far, only about 31 million have gone out. With the turn of a new administration just days away, Biden's team promising to speed up the rollout.
We have looked carefully, and we are confident that we have enough vaccine for the 100 million doses over the next 100 days. That is what the president-elect has promised. It will be a hefty lift, but we have it in us to do that.
The everyday toll weighing on American lives. In Southern California, the latest epicenter of the pandemic, Orange County's fourth field hospital opening today. 52 extra beds for COVID patients are now available at St. Jude Medical Center. The fight against the virus, nowhere near over.
I can only imagine every day, if not every hour, there's a different concern at the top of your list. At this point in the pandemic, what's keeping you up at night?
vaccine rolling out fast enough and people not getting ahead of it.
Now, Joe Biden has this plan of delivering 100 million vaccine doses in his first 100 days of his presidency. And Dr. Anthony Fauci says that is absolutely doable. Keep in mind, there are two more vaccines in the works from AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson, and those could be presented to regulators for approval in a matter of weeks.
That's ABC's Kaylee Hartung. A Texas man arrested in connection with a Capitol insurrection. ABC's Aaron Katursky tells us he allegedly threatened his family if they turned him in.
Guy Reffitt associates himself with the militia extremist group Texas Freedom Force and appears to have been pepper sprayed on Capitol grounds. When he returned home to Texas, court records said Reffitt told his family members he had gone to Washington and stormed the Capitol. He also allegedly threatened the lives of his son and daughter if they said anything, telling them, if you turn me in, you're a traitor, and you know what happens to traitors. Traitors get shot. Reffitt was arrested by the FBI on charges of unlawful entry and obstruction. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, Washington.
Coming news time 9:14. After traffic and weather, we'll check into the nation's capital with ABC's Inez de la Quatera about some folks who came down with COVID while locked down at the Capitol and what is going on at the Capitol in preparations for the inauguration. Traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here once again, Tammy Bennett.
I am looking at this earlier police action in Kent. Everything's off the road, but there are two or three Washington State Patrol cars on the right-hand side of northbound 167 right before you get to Central. And I think that is exacerbating the backup. It's still taking up just as much real estate from about 277th up to Central, but it is still in the process of going away. And it's our only blocker in the region. So you're good to go everywhere else at the speed limit. Your next report, 924. Tammy Bennett for Como News.
This traffic report sponsored by Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Electrical. Call Beacon today and save $50 on all heating and air conditioning. Just call 1-800-FREAKIN. It's stop freaking. Call Beacon. Como News time 9:16 now, and checking the forecast, we're looking at some partly sunny skies this afternoon with a high of around 50. Starting to cool things off as the week goes on, though. More partly sunny skies tomorrow, mostly cloudy Wednesday. The rain chance returns on Thursday, and we start to get some chillier temperatures at that point as well. Everett, 42 in clouds right now, partly cloudy in 40. In Tacoma at SeaTac Airport, mostly cloudy skies, 45 degrees at 9:16.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
Taylor Van Sice and Bill O'Neill at the editor's desk. I'm Tom Hutler. Stories we're following right now. Vice President-elect Kamala Harris officially out of the U.S. Senate after turning in her resignation letter to California Governor Gavin Newsom today. He's already announced that Secretary of State Alex Padilla will fill out the rest of that term. A senior transition official believes the situation on the border with Mexico is not going to be transformed overnight once President-elect Biden takes office. The incoming administration warns thousands of Honduran migrants not to come immediately after he becomes president. Biden's vowed to end the strict immigration policies of the Trump administration, but the official says it's false to believe migrants will be let into the country on day one. Como News time now, 9:17. More members of the House of Representatives announcing they've tested positive for COVID-19 after that riot on Capitol Hill just under 2 weeks ago. With more on this story, I'm joined by ABC's Inez de la Quatera in Washington, where there's a heavy security presence in anticipation of Wednesday's inauguration. Inez, tell us about these positive tests. Who has them and how serious are they?
Yes. I mean, in addition to the security concerns here in D.C., there's also now a COVID concern on Capitol Hill. We are now at 5 House members who have tested positive for COVID-19 in the aftermath of these January 6th riots after having to, shelter in place indoors in rooms that have little ventilation, with other members who were reportedly not wearing face masks. And we saw images and videos coming out in the days after the riots of Republican House members not wearing face masks, even at one point in one video being offered face masks, declining to take those masks, and even at one point mocking the person who was offering up those face masks. So the first House member to test positive was Bonnie Watson of New Jersey, who pretty quickly pointed the finger at those Republican House members for not wearing a face mask. She is pretty, she's being pretty direct in blaming them for the surge here. We are now at, five House members, and there's a concern that more could come out and test positive in the coming days. We should point out that the members who tested positive, of course, will be in self-isolation. They will not be attending the inauguration. It's unclear at this point what other members who were maybe in those rooms will do. The House physician is urging people to get tested as much as possible and really keep an eye out on for their symptoms. But I don't believe there has been any guidance issued so far urging people to self-isolate.
Okay. Of course, one of those also is a representative from our state, Pramila Jayapal. Turning to the scene in the city, from what I've seen, it looks like it's basically on lockdown and that there's very little activity in advance of Wednesday's inauguration.
Yeah, it's been very quiet here. The city is basically, you know, a fortress. It's basically shut down. The entire, the National Mall has been shut down through the Thursday after Inauguration Day. The White House area, the Capitol Hill, of course, there's been an 8-foot-tall, non-scalable fence set up around the whole Capitol complex, around the White House as well. And there are, 25,000 National Guard troops here. Just patrolling the streets. It's a really eerie sight. I went for a walk, a couple walks over the weekend, and it's a strange sight to see the whole city shut down, roads blocked off, and just to see the law enforcement presence, the armored vehicles parked here and there is really something.
Well, we're about 48 hours away from the inauguration, and stay safe. Thanks again for your reporting. ABC's Inez de la Quatera in Washington. Como News Time now, 9:20. And your Propel Insurance business update as we check your money news at 20 and 50 past each hour.
If you're trying to buy a home, you'll likely need to make more than an average salary to afford the monthly payments. Adam Data Solutions recently analyzed how affordable it is to be a homeowner across the country and found that owning a home is truly affordable in only 41% of counties nationwide. The largest metropolitan areas where owning a home is still affordable for the average household include Chicago, Houston, Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Tampa. The past year was a very challenging one for restaurants amid the coronavirus pandemic, and that's likely to continue to be the case for at least the first several months of this year. The parent company of Olive Garden, Longhorn Steakhouse, and Bahama Breeze, Darden Restaurants, says labor is one of the industry's many challenges. CEO Gene Lee says many workers left the sector during the pandemic and may not return. He's hopeful that the incoming Biden administration will make policy changes to help boost immigration to the U.S. to fill restaurants ranks. That's your money now.
Some struggles on Wall Street to kick off the week. The Dow's down 177 and a quarter to 30,814. The Nasdaq's off 114 points. Just less than a percentage point drop, 12,998 overall. And the S&P 500 is down 27 and a quarter, sitting at 3768. That's your Propel Insurance business update. Como News Time, 921.
On the way home, update and unwind. The Como Afternoon News with Elisa Jaffe and Rick Van Sice. Stay connected, stay informed with Como News 1000, FM 97.7, and ComoNews.com.